Hi, this is Patsy with the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to read a good book. And, oh, wow, this is going to be, I have to tell you, everything is fine. Because this morning, whilst eating my pickled herring, it occurred to me that I had a perfect guest to ask if there is such a hashtag as hashtag fish have feelings. Because my guest is Jillian Harvey, and she has written a book, a fantastic book, and it's called Everything is Fine. Hi, Jillian.
Hello, thanks for having me on.
Oh, boy. Oh, I just, oh, it's so wonderful. Whenever I have a guest and I can use the word whilst I'm eating my breakfast, and you won't feel I'm pretentious because you understand what I'm saying. And I need to ask you this. This is serious because I want to be an influencer. I'm trying to influence Americans to eat pickled herring for breakfast. And it frightened me when I saw that hashtag, fish have feelings. Is that a real hashtag?
Oh, no. I think not that I know of.
You made that up. You made that up for this wonderful and delightful book.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I wanted to take it to the extremes, thinking of the kind of overblown reaction people can have sometimes to other people's habits, I guess, online.
Well, you know, I would love to be an influencer. I'm trying to find some pickled herring company that will sponsor my program, and I will influence all of America. Eat herring in the morning. It makes you feel good. See, I'm so cheerful in the morning. And, you know, it doesn't come from a box. Wow. Where do I start with this book? You know, for months, I was telling people, oh, please don't write me one more pandemic-y book. Don't write me one more angsty book. I can't take it anymore. I sent out email to a couple of very famous authors, and they must have been very surprised when I wrote to them, because I wrote, they've been on the program. I said, please, next year, 2021, we need some fun. Stop. Don't go down this path of pandemic-y books. Can't you write something like Peter Mayle? And then what do I get? I get this book. I get Everything is Fine. And so suddenly I felt just like everything is fine.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Wow. It is amazing. You have to you tell us what you want about it, but I just want to tell people that this is such a, it's like a breath of fresh air, really. A book that makes you laugh out loud, has a lot, it's very funny, but it's also a commentary on the world we live in. Because I particularly hate social media. I can't navigate it. So tell us where you got this idea for this wonderful book.
Oh, thank you. Well, basically, I guess I, like all of us, I'm trying social media, and I do enjoy my time on there a lot of the time, but I also feel sometimes like a false version of myself, even when I'm trying to be authentic. I think we all make decisions about the way we present ourselves online. And I just really took that idea to the extreme. What would it be like if we ended up leading a kind of double life where we're perfect online and everything else is falling apart offline? And that contrast between, I suppose, different realities that we have now. And I just wanted to have a little bit of fun with that. And obviously, maybe I wouldn't have chosen the title Everything is Fine if I knew it was going to come out around, you know, at the end of 2020, 2021, things are not fine. But then I guess, in a way, it's the title itself is a joke, because it's the way that the protagonist is presenting herself as great, when actually things are just getting worse and worse in reality for her.
But we have fun along the way.
Oh, yeah.
lots of fun. And it provokes a lot of thinking, because when I got to the part where there was decaf bean-free coffee, now the two things I need in the morning are herring and coffee. And to imagine, of course, she takes photographs and posts the pictures of the wonderful things she eats and why she threw that salmon out. I'm not even going to go there. But really, the idea, I didn't even, it never occurred to me there was such a thing as decaf bean-free coffee.
No, I mean, again, that was sort of, because I think everyone's trying to be cleaner and cleaner and healthier and outdo each other all the time. So I thought, what would be the actual extreme end of a healthy coffee? And it's one that doesn't have any coffee in it at all.
There are so many clever things in this book. Of course, there's the natural British wit, which you can't beat that. I know. I lived in England for a while, and I miss that. I must say, I don't know anybody who's witty in America. I really don't. I don't know anybody who's witty, but I did know, and I lived in a little village in Sonning, in near Henley, and my butcher was witty. I mean, you know, there were only two stores in the village, the butcher and the sweet shop, and the lady in the sweet shop was witty, but I don't meet anybody witty, and so it's a pleasure to read a book that has some wit in it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think I probably come across more witty in writing than I do in real life, unfortunately. I'm probably quite disappointed when I actually meet people. But I think it's just looking at things in a different way, isn't it? And trying to find that light, even when there's a lot of shade. There's always something to pick at and laugh at. And I guess look at ourselves and find a way to laugh at ourselves a little bit when we get a bit too serious.
And your attempts into social media, you have not been an influencer. You do not post pictures of yourself jogging and lifting weights.
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, I think that in a way, I suppose if I'd grown up with social media and there'd been that kind of influencer around when I was sort of a bit younger or in my teens, I think it could have been quite dangerous in a way, because I was very influenced by the people around me when I was growing up, and that was without Instagram. And it sometimes, I mean, people do present very unrealistic versions of themselves online, and some people deliberately, obviously, to cultivate a following. And I just think nobody's that perfect in real life, are they? And I think when we do try and aim for perfection, that's when we really kind of fall down hard. So I wanted to kind of think about the way that could be made funny, but also make that serious point that, hang on a minute, nobody's perfect. Even the things that you see, these staged photos, obviously, they promote a lifestyle, but that lifestyle doesn't really exist. It's none of us can kind of keep that up full time, unless it's literally everything that we want in life is sort of in a good jogging photo.
Well, your character, your main character, Jess Bradley, and she has a daughter, Anne. You've drawn them beautifully so that we really get into their life and certainly care about them as we're going along with the story and wondering, you know, where exactly Jess is going to land up, at McDonald's or not. You know?
Thank you. Yeah, I think I've got five kids, and I think before you have kids, you think, oh, I'm going to raise them like this, and I'm going to be this kind of mom, and everything's going to be fantastic. And actually, that's another thing that's perhaps something, you know, I wanted to bring out, that it's impossible to be a perfect parent, however hard you want to be and however hard you try, and we're all flawed. So I think Jessica's sort of finding her way with her kid as well, just trying to do the best that she can by her, but in getting swept up in everything else, she neglects her a little bit at one point, and before she realizes towards the end, obviously, that there are more important things than the perfect picture.
Well, I love your way with words. I love the way you describe things.
Thank you.
Everything about it. Even forest and river. I thought, everything. little things like that, they just tickled me, and I thought, oh, I just enjoy this writing, and this is your first novel, right?
It is, yeah.
My goodness,
that's right, yeah.
Of course, you're an accomplished author. You've written for some great magazines and newspapers, and certainly your talent for novel writing has burst out. And I think we're in for a great treat, because I do hope that, I mean, this is the problem. As I said, I have received over the past, 6 months, certainly, so many novels that are very angsty. I mean, nothing, with no humor. I mean, if you're going to have problems, let's have something to laugh at once in a while. You know, I can't read anymore these sometimes very long books where everything and everybody they're just miserable. And halfway through, I'm saying, I don't care what happens to you people. I really don't care. You get over it. You know, like, okay, you got problems with your mother. Get over it, you know. So your sisters are nasty. Get over it. I get so angry sometimes with these books because there is this need. I mean, I'm almost saying, like, in the old days, authors at least had, like, this understanding you have to give the reader a little break. You know, they can't be constantly depressed. And and you can still...
Especially at the moment when, I mean, the news is so depressing, you want to have some sort of escape from that, really, don't you? You need to kind of immerse yourself in a different world that is complicated in a whole other way and sort of lift your mood a little bit as well, I think.
Well, exactly, and you are still making a very important social point that we have to sort of examine this whole idea I can't deal with all the social media. It's just too complicated for me, and I certainly wouldn't put. But authors do put terrible things on their own Facebook pages that sometimes astonish me, and they're trying to attract fans to their books, but then they write terrible things on their Facebook pages as if they don't understand it's connected, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yes, it's interesting how people present themselves. I think a lot of the people you meet online, you can bring out people's best qualities, and it can also bring out their worst qualities too. And you really, I don't know, I think some of the people that I get on really well online, maybe I wouldn't in real life, and maybe the other way around as well, because we don't get the whole person, do we? We just get that part of themselves, and it can come across quite negative, as you say, or, you know, they can have a viewpoint that you just think is completely out there, and that's all you think about them then, isn't it?
Well, you must have some amazing stories to tell about raising 5 kids in France and being British and being out in the countryside somewhere, which is marvelous. Tell me, I always ask people, do your kids read the Bagthorpe saga? Have you read the Helen Cresswell books?
No, I haven't. No.
Well, this is what drives me crazy, because when books are like... an author will write a great book and then nobody talks about it, and you know, publicity, you get the publicity today and you know for a month or so, and then after that nobody ever talks about it again. But I insist that you buy your children the Bagthorpe saga, which are written by Helen Cresswell, British. They're very British books, and I raise my boys on those books because they're so, again, so witty, so funny, so delightful, that I when they would just be sitting on the carpet and rolling around in laughter, that was a joy. And for me, to when I was reading your book and I'm laughing out loud, that was a pure joy. And so I'm trying to encourage people, read the Helen Cresswell books. I don't care what age you are, actually. They're written for, you know, kids, but they're very... Well, the wit is intelligent, you know, and I think it develops the mind. So I don't know, what ages are your kids? Are they old or young now?
They're young. I've got, the youngest is 5, and I've got a 7-year-old girl, twin boys that are 8, and the 11-year-old girl.
Okay, well, they're the perfect age. Helen Cresswell, you have to read those books to the kids.
I absolutely will. Actually, I'm always looking for...
You'll thank me forever. But what books were you raised on? What books gave you this sort of little bit of a sense of humor and wit and style?
I think, I used to read as much as I possibly could when I was a kid. And it would be all sorts of different books, more serious ones and more upbeat ones. But, I mean, the main influence or the first influence in trying to adopt a more witty writing style was Nick Hornby, I think, because he just manages to... I love the way that he is able to take a situation and show you the ridiculousness of it, but at the same time, you believe it's happening. It's believable enough. It's rooted in real life, but it's also funny. And so he's probably one of my favourite authors still, I think. And also Tony Parsons. I don't know if you're familiar with his Man and Boy series over there, but it's this idea of a normal situation, but you can relate to the person and you can see the humour, but there's also enough for you to root for that person again. So I guess they're my main influences as a writer.
Well, of course, you've been writing since you were 5 years old, which is, and it's taken you a while before you get this first novel done. But now I think you're going to have a hit on your hands, because I think people are going to relate to this book very well. People are interested in how do people become influencers, because I want to be an influencer as long as all I have to do is eat herring and drink coffee. If it would be that easy, if they would pay me millions of dollars, I would be happy to influence people.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? On that side, and then the fact that it's funny, and I think it came out at the right time, and I think actually the title is perfect, because the cover, by the way, is very beautiful, and just to have it sort of on your coffee table and walk by it, and everything is fine. Oh, everything is fine. Oh, yes, really.
That's true, yeah. I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
Well, I did, and I assume you're writing more.
I am, yeah. I've got another one out in the UK in May, and hopefully that'll be coming over at some point as well.
It's not a continuation. You're not same character.
No, brand new character, another sort of woman who. She basically feels very invisible and decides to do something quite extreme to be seen by the people in her life. So it's another humorous one.
Good. Stick with humor. And with five kids, I would think with five kids that they would provide some humor in your life.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I think it's hard work, obviously, as you know, all mums and dads know. It's hard work and you tear your hair out sometimes, but there's not a day goes by where the kids don't make you laugh as well, and it's proper laughter. It's not sort of fabricated or the type you might do at work when you're trying to get on with someone. I mean, they really, I think kids just find the joy in everything, don't they? And I think the percentage, I read somewhere that they laugh about 20 times a day compared to grown-ups who laugh maybe 3 times a day or something like that, and I can well believe it. They're always, I don't know, tickling my funny bone. I think they're just a real joy.
Well, I hope that you capture some of that and make sure that you I think the world needs a writer like you now, because I'm telling you, I know so many people are depressed, and I'm sorry that, you know, we're going through all of this, but exactly what you just said, you can find the joy in a game in their laughter, and to try to make life a little bit better, I think is wonderful, and you've certainly done it with this book, and I want to tell people that, you know, as bad as things are, and it's crazy, I can't believe that it's almost a year since this started, because one thing after another, I was planning this event or that event, I had to cancel everything. I'm sure you were going to go and have some tours and all sorts of things, and we're still at this stage. So to take this time and read everything is fine is, I think, a wonderful, wonderful way to spend a day or two. And you have a website you want people to go to?
Yeah, they can do it. It's just www.gillianharvey.com. So very easy. And then all my information is there. So.
And I suppose you're on social media too. But, you know, we have to do it. But I'm just telling you that I think that your writing is great. It flows fast. It's one of these books that just you're reading it and you go woof along and you say, whoa. Wow, I'm learning something here also as you're going along, and I think I was just so thrilled really when I got your book, because I think that it's something that people need at this time, and again, just I want to thank you so much for being on the program today and bringing some joy. You certainly brought joy into my life with reading this book, and I think people will, perhaps other authors, I'm actually going to send out a note to quite a few authors I know and say, have a look at Jillian's book. She can write with humor. She can take essentially a serious subject. What are these influencers doing to us and to our children? But also, the depth of understanding of human nature that you put into this book is remarkable.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's really lovely thing to say.
Well, as soon as you have a pub date for the next book, you make sure that you let me know, and I want you back here on Joy on Paper, because it's been an absolute joy to talk to you. And I love, as I said, I love your name, Jillian, spelt with a G in proper British fashion. It's a name that I, when I was living in England, I just loved. What part of England are you from?
I'm from Hertfordshire, which is sort of north of London, so fairly central.
Well, I was in Berkshire, and it was so wonderful to be over there by Henley-on-Thames, and not far from Henley.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful,
right there on the Thames, so it was really fantastic. I had a wonderful 400-year-old cottage that I bought when I was 21 years old. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I can tell you can tell how long ago that was, because I paid £19,000 for that.
Oh, wow. Maybe it's worth a little bit more now.
I think it's somewhere up in like the £400,000 today if I had kept it, and I wish I had. But it was fun while I had it, and I certainly loved it. And I love the idea. I'm waiting for this book about you in the middle of France somewhere with five kids. This has to be exciting series too. So that's going to be a series. That one you can write a series. You start when they're young and keep going until they're off. Off to uni, huh?
Yeah, certainly plenty of material in that.
Exactly.
Sure.
Okay. But okay. Bye bye now, Jillian. It was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Oh, she's so sweet. Okay, we're going to have a quick commercial, and we're coming back with V.M. Burns. And this is going to be fun, too. I'm going to stay in a very British fashion today.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I am back with my next guest, and boy, oh boy, this was my British day. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, V.M. Burns, and I'm going to call her Valerie, and the name of the book is The Tourist Guide to Murder, and this book, the story takes place in England, and as everybody knows, I was just talking to somebody from a British girl from England, and it was so, well, who lives in France, but it was so much fun, so I can still use the word whilst I was talking. Wow. Hello, Valerie.
Hello.
Woo, I am so happy to have you on Joy on Paper, because I love this book. I love your writing. I love your books.
Oh, thank you.
And when I saw The Tourist Guide to Murder, which, of course, takes place in England, and right there, you know, it has the British flag, I knew that I was in for a treat, because I love any book set in England. And then going back over your other books in the series, which is, you know, this series is called Mystery Bookshop Series, is so good. And the one of the other ones that I read, Bookmark, I just love that one. So I'm just so happy to have you on Joy on Paper today.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Whoa, where do we start with this book? This is exciting. I you can lay the premise, but it's, of course, a story that takes place. A bunch of Americans take a trip to England. And of course, they find a murder. So tell us a little bit about this series and about the storyline for this particular book.
Okay, great. So the Mystery Bookshop series features Samantha Washington. She's the protagonist. And when the series started, she is a widow. And she and her husband dreamed of opening a mystery bookshop. Well, he passes, and she realizes life is too short not to follow your dreams. So she quits her job. She buys the building that they dreamed of, and she opens the mystery bookshop. But she also dreamed of writing British historic cozy mysteries. So to fill her nights, she starts writing her British cozies. And so every book in this series features two mysteries.
I know. It is so fun, much fun.
There's the mystery that she is solving in her regular life, and then the readers will also get the British historic cozy mystery that she's writing. And so every book has those two mysteries, and this is the sixth book in the series. And so she is going to England to research for her book that she's writing. And she's very close with her grandmother, Nana Jo. And her grandmother and several of their friends from the retirement village decide to go with her. And they take a murder mystery tour of England. It's a mystery lovers tour. And the tour stops at places that are important for mystery lovers in England. So there are real murders that through the Jack the Ripper sites, as well as fictional mysteries like the Sherlock Holmes Museum. And these are all real places that you can take tours of if you go to England. And so while she's on this tour, there is a murder, and she and her grandmother and their friends get to work solving the mystery.
And they certainly get to work, and it is just a fun read. Now, I lived in England for many years. I owned a little cottage there, and one of the fun things, I did this mystery tour. Every time I would have visitors come from America, I would take them on this mystery tour because this is where they wanted to go. I don't know how many times I took them to, you know, where is Sherlock Holmes? Where is Agatha Christie? I did this tour myself so many times because, of course, everybody who comes, over from America wanted to see that. And, after the 10th time, I was like, okay, I've seen this. But it's fun. And that's why I found it so amusing. You wrote it so beautifully and really captured the excitement of for Americans when they get to England and they see all these sites. There's this absolute magical excitement that they feel because they've been reading all these books, that you've been reading Agatha Christie for so many years or Sherlock Holmes, and you get there and you're walking in their footsteps, and it's exciting, and you've captured that. And I must say, I just love the characters, and Samantha Marie Washington as Nana Jo would call her. Samantha Marie Washington is quite a beautifully developed character, really great. And I love the grandmother, Nana Jo. I always think it's so nice when Nana Jo is tall, and I like that. I think a grandmother should be tall, and then all your life you feel like, you know, you're still a little girl. Everything about the characters that you write, how you describe them, how you they interact, it's witty. And I was just speaking to a British writer in the first part of the show, and her name is Gillian Harvey. And she, of course, being British, she's very witty. And you have that same kind of, a touch of wit and very clever dialogue. And it just makes it a joy to read.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's wonderful. I'm glad that people appreciate that.
So tell us, this is the sixth book now, and you've been, well, of course, this series is with Kensington. And is it true that you have a dog named Kensington?
I do have a dog named Kensington. I have a black toy poodle, and I named her after my publisher.
Aha. That's smart. Okay. I'm going to get a dog and name it Penguin, and maybe Penguin.
One thing that people may not know is that the two dogs that are on the cover, and on the cover of every book in the series, there are these same two dogs, and those were my dogs. So in the book, Samantha Washington's dogs are Snickers and Oreo. And my dogs were Coco and Cash. And so I based Snickers and Oreo on Coco and Cash.
Well, obviously a dog lover. So you get a whole big audience of fans. Just I think just for the covers, of course, of all your books are lovely, and you know, particularly the Kensington covers. Kensington does such a beautiful job of capturing the story. Enough of the storyline on the front cover to make it intriguing.
I have loved the covers too. The illustrator does a fantastic job. And every time I look at these covers and see my puppies on there, I just get a big smile on my face.
Well, you've done, I mean, you are like a real production line. In addition to this series, you have a series of dog mysteries.
I do. I have
the Dog Club.
Dog Club mystery series. There are 5 books in that series. And each book features a different breed of dog.
Whoa, dog lovers out there.
And you get a clue by the picture on the cover.
Well, I think it's very clever. Great writing. And, you know, of course, you are, you know, a member of quite a few groups. And of course, one of them is the... Mystery Writer of America, which I've now had 11 Mystery Writer of America Grandmasters on my program. And I was you know how I discovered you? How I discovered you was actually through wanting to interview Barbara Neely, who became a Grandmaster, a Mystery Writer of America Grandmaster. And, of course, I had hoped to, you know, interview her, and she passed away last March. And, of course, I'm sure you appreciated her books.
I did. She was a great writer.
Did you know her?
No, I did not know her personally, unfortunately.
Well, you know, she was a great writer. She had a wonderful mystery series, and... it was really, I was, you know, very saddened when I didn't have the opportunity to have her on the program. But I, in researching, I had, was looking around, and that's how I first discovered you. And so it's just, it's very, you know, it's hard to believe this year's gone by. Everything that happened in this year, but certainly losing her was very sad. Because she's also, her books were, you know, are great. And for women of color to make this, this, you know, big entry into the whole cozy mystery world, I think is fantastic. And, you know, your books are just so well written. Now, you've been writing since you were a kid?
Well, I've been writing a little, but not trying to get published. When I was young, I didn't necessarily think I want to grow up and be a writer. But I read a lot, and I loved cozy mysteries. I am a huge Agatha Christie fan. And so I just looked for every mystery I could find, especially cozy mysteries. And then, you know, if you read for a long time, you start to wonder, I wish there was a book about whatever. I wish there was a book that had this, or this main character, or was set in a particular location. And after a while, I realized, well, maybe I need to try and write that book. And I think for writers of color, I think that, you know, when you grow up reading cozy mysteries, you hope that one day you'll see somebody that looks like you. And so I think that you're seeing a lot more of cozy mystery writers of color actually getting involved in putting people of color in the books and on the covers so people know what to look for, and hopefully they'll enjoy the mystery and not necessarily think about the color of the protagonist. But I think it's always great to see people who you can relate to.
Well, that's true. But, you know, just like it, your writing surpasses color. It's human. It's human beings. You capture the essence of just humanity. Of it doesn't matter what color the characters are in your book. You know, sometimes you don't even know who's what color, because you have that ability to really catch that little nuance of what makes a person interesting, what makes a person suspicious. You know, when we have a mysteries here, and what might be, you know, just that little bit of something that you capture, and it's simply understanding human beings and not really caring what color. That's why I always hate, and as a matter of fact, I mean, the reason you are on now is I don't interview people of color in February, because I am trying to break that thing that we have out there that they send me books, for example, for people of color only in February, and I don't want that. I wouldn't have interviewed you if your book came out in February. I would have waited till March, because I think we fall into that trap that we say, okay, well, oh, we'll give it a month. You know, that's not the way it should be. It should be year round. Your books are just as good in January and, you know, March and August as they would be in February. So I don't want to promote books based on color or based on a month that you're supposed to do with that. This is simply great writing. You are very talented. And you paint a picture when, as I said, because for me, this particular book, the book set in England, is one that I know these streets. I know these places. I know, you know, and for me to be captured with your writing is exciting. And that's why I wanted to go beyond that we shouldn't even be thinking about it. It's simply a great story, a very nice, very nice convoluted little mystery in there. Well, two of them, you know, and that's the excitement of writing and finding that joy on paper, and to make everybody, you know, just want to turn the page.
Well, thank you. I think that is the perfect wish of most writers, is that people will appreciate the mystery and not necessarily focus on the color of the people on the cover or the cover color of the author. And I know that all mystery, right? I mean, I think we all want to be judged on the quality of our writing and not the color of our skin.
Exactly. And that's the important thing. And which is why I started this policy a few years ago, after I realized that publishers and publicists were sending me books of color only for February. I would not get anything at other times of the year. And I thought, that's not fair. That's not right. Books written by people of color should be sent out all year round. You know, let's not wait for a month. And because, for example, I'm sure there are many people of color who write wonderful books for Christmas, and you're going to wait till February? I don't think so, you know.
Yeah, well, it's also a challenge with bookstores, because they will take books with people of color and they put them in the section for African-American writers.
Yeah, this is wrong. So I'm against it.
Someone would have to go into the store specifically looking for that type of mystery to find it, as opposed to going to the mystery section, and picking up a book that appeals to them and reading.
Exactly. And I mean, a book like this, your book, should be right there near the front door, if you ask me. And you wrote a book for Christmas. You know, what were you supposed to do? Wait until February to start promoting it? I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's wrong. And I absolutely hate those sections. I don't like those sections because I know it's... In one way, it can be empowering, but I think people of color are empowered to know that it would be really empowering to just be with everybody else where you could make better sales, where everybody
exactly.
would be buying. So it's just sometimes sort of do-gooders sometimes don't do good. You know what I mean?
I do, trust me.
Okay. Well, that's why I am so happy to be able to talk to you in January. Wow, the month has gone fast. It's hard to believe it's 2021. But at least I got you in here in January, and I didn't have to wait till March.
Today is the release day.
Exactly. And the book is called A Tourist's Guide to Murder, and it's book number 6 in this wonderful mystery bookshop series. I think everybody who reads it will just fall in love with the characters. As I said, Samantha Marie Washington. I like her. There's something just so wonderful about her. I remember the part in Chicago that what's the name of the bookstore in Chicago that they were in? I love that, the way you describe that bookstore in Chicago with the spiral staircase. And I'm thinking, oh, I want to be in that bookstore. I like that bookstore. And her grandmother and the other characters that you people your books with. And of course, for me, the historical book, the historical mystery cozy is wonderful because I love historical cozies. Tasha Alexander, I don't know if you've read her books. She writes a Lady Emily series. Tasha has been a guest on Joy on Paper. She was a host. She hosted one program during the pandemic when I couldn't get into the studio. So I know that she will be thrilled. I'm going to send her an email today to tell her about this wonderful book, and she'll be thrilled to read it too.
Thank you. I actually think that we share an alma mater.
You and Tasha?
And Tasha,
Where'd you go?
I got a master's from, one of my master's is from the University of Notre Dame.
Okay, yes,
and
absolutely.
And I believe that she...
Absolutely, and her father taught there for many, and her mother taught there for many years. Okay.
Oh, really? Yeah. I did not know that part.
Okay, well, I will tell her today because I'm going to be talking to her later on. And I know she'll be excited to read your book, too. And this is just a wonderful mystery. Now, what's your website so people can go there?
VMBurns.com.
And VM Burns is Valerie. And I get to call you Valerie. Is that okay? Because I love that name.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, Valerie. Well, I am so thrilled that you were on Joy on Paper today. And have an empowered February, but have an empowered year because you deserve it. You are a great writer. And people, if you love dogs, you have to read her series, the Dogs Mystery Series. And of course, this wonderful series. Again, thank you, Valerie, for being on Joy on Paper today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed myself.
Okay, it's been fun. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
All right, okay. She's nice. She's nice. Oh, I like this book so much. I love this book so much. You know, I love books set in England, so it was so much fun for me to do that again, like take the tour. I don't know how many times I took people to the Tower of London. I saw that place so many times. Everybody who came from America wanted, I want to go to the Tower. I want to go to Madame Tussauds. I want to go to see something of Agatha Christie. I did those tours. I should have actually started a tour guide business. I would have made a fortune. Anyway, I had lots of fun in England in those days, and it was great that I I got to sort of relive part of that in this wonderful new book by V.M. Burns, and it's available wherever books are sold. And I was just looking at her website, and A Tourist Guide for Murder is right at the top, and she did have a Christmas book. I knew she did have a Christmas book. And so it's just great that I was able to talk to her. Okay, everybody, people have been writing me, about query letters, and I'm going to go crazy with query letters. People, if you are looking for an agent, you really have to go to Publishers Weekly and look at the book deals and see what is selling and what agents are active. Because when you send out your query letter, you have to send it to an agent who's actually getting book deals. And the best place to find that is in Publishers Weekly. Go there and they have a section called Book Deals of the Week. And every week they have maybe five or six agents listed there who have gotten big book deals. I was just reading a couple of them last week. Seven-figure book deal. Can you imagine that? Some for YA. YA is very popular. So young adult, and of course I had Alex Bracken here the other day talking about Lore, which is her entry into the hardback books, and number one hardback book, young adult. It can happen. It can happen to you. You know, it's just, it's all up to you if you're going to do a query letter and find an agent. And in the case of V.M. Burns, she has an agent, but she's with Kensington. Kensington is a wonderful, wonderful publisher. And they also take people who don't have agents. So it's something that you might consider. And one of my favorite authors, Carol J. Perry, is published by Kensington, and she's often on the end caps, which makes it really thrilling to walk in. Well, I don't know. I don't walk in bookstores. I don't walk in any place anymore. I hope this will change in the near future. But anyway, everybody, just remember what I always tell you, okay, that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. And I hope to hear news soon. I'm going to be talking to Andrew Grant, Andrew Child, I don't know what his name is anymore. I just call him Drew, and he's now writing the Jack Reacher books. And I understand he's almost finished with the second book in the series. So this is going to be exciting. And also, hopefully, the streaming video of Jack Reacher will be coming out soon, because that's what Lee Child has been busy on now that he's retired from writing the Jack Reacher books. Anyway, everybody, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. Oh, it's been a wonderful day. I got to talk about England a lot. Everybody, have a wonderful day. And Ed saluted me, and I saluted him, and I should have been a general. Bye-bye now, everybody. Have a great day.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Steve Cave in Destructive Scene, north of Birmingham, Alabama.
The debris started flying everywhere, and it lasted about 30 seconds.
Been a lot to clean up. Widespread damage after a tornado.